Blessings, everyone. It is a pleasure to be here tonight, or today, wherever you're calling from. It is Kathy on the phone tonight, and I am here with Paul. Not many of you will have met Paul yet. He is a part of our team, another one of the coaches that I'm very lucky to work with, and he will be sharing with me on the call. As it turns out, you would have been expecting Nick and Michael, most likely, for this call, but turn of events and circumstances just created the space for Paul and I to be able to share with you tonight, and we're deeply honored to do so. So with Paul, I just would like to introduce a little bit about him. There were a bunch of events, synchronistic events, that led him to us, and he is a very loving and kind and very happy person. We're fortunate to have him working alongside us. And Paul brings a background with him of a professionalism with a business and relationship success as well. So he's got keen insights in those areas. Additionally, Paul, from what I know of him, has been a keen observer of the magic in life, and he has a passion and a drive to make things happen, and he values very much the heart-centered communication that a lot of us do here, and Paul can expand on any of this as he's inspired to do, but one of the things that I know about Paul from what I do know is that he is definitely an example of someone who knows to get out of his own way to set a vision and then allow for it to happen. And I would say he's an expert at letting go and then living also in love rather than the opposite of fear. So welcome, Paul. Thank you for being here.
Oh, well, thank you for the wonderful introduction, Kathy.
Pleasure.
And it's nice to meet all of you.
So the format of the call tonight, what we're going to do is we're going to be focusing on the successes that come from and the challenges you may experience from trying to set and implement daily rituals and your practices. And Paul and I will share a little bit of our own experience with that, some of the successes we've had from implementing our own rituals. And we're inviting all of you to likewise share on that, the successes you've experienced and perhaps the challenges you may have faced in trying to set and establish daily routines that you feel comfortable with, inspired by, and motivated to become more through. And again, keeping that best day ever in mind, bring that in to your awareness now here, and let's explore together how we can bring more of that experience into your reality today. So some of the experiences that I have had, when I think about what is success and what brings success in my daily ritual, there was, so many years ago, about 15 years ago, 20 years ago, I heard a quote, and I'm not sure who it was by, but it was influential for me, to say the least, was that luck is what happens when preparation meets opportunity. And that really stuck with me, and it actually changed my perspective on a lot of things, because it used to bother me prior to that when people would say, oh, Kathy, you're just so lucky, because, you know, all of the effort and energy that went into creating that so-called luck. So, you know, it very much is true. When you are prepared in body, mind, spirit, heart, everything, when you're prepared and opportunity knocks, then you can separate it. And to everyone else who's looking in from the outside, that lucky strike, lucky break, they happen frequently, magic. When you are prepared. So a ritual, this is where this comes in. You have the preparation. How are you preparing your body? Are you preparing your mind? How are you preparing the path ahead for you to be able to take advantage of those opportunities as they present themselves? So, Paul, do you have any anything to speak to on that?
Well, truthfully, I got cut off and I came in halfway through it, but I agree with you that chance does favor the prepare mind, and the universe won't give you the challenges unless you already have the tools to overcome those challenges. And then, so I agree that, you know, even though, you know, say the universe challenges you with something that you may, there may be a feeling in you that, you know, you're not, you don't think you're ready for it or something, but you are ready. The opportunity wouldn't come to your doorstep if you literally weren't ready.
Right. That's really nice. Yeah. Really nice way to look at it too. Awesome. Thank you.
Definitely.
So any experiences or examples that come to mind for you where your setting up of daily rituals or routines proved to be successful for you? And what type of success did that bring?
Well, you know, after taking all these you know, different kinds of courses, it really does come down to the same thing where, you know, you create your plan and you constantly focus on it. You know, that's literally what it is. And what helped for me was it kind of being okay not to have the big grand plan, right? Just to, you know, when my parents were saying, what are you going to do for a living? What are you going to do? And there's so much pressure on, oh my gosh, I have to make one decision on what I'm going to do for the rest of my life. And that's not what made me successful. It's just understanding that I can just start small, constantly refine and make course adjustments to the grander goal of success with everything and health, wealth, happiness, business, and everything. And so I never really put pressure on. I have this one decision is something I'm going to have to, you know, put all of my attention to and focus on my daily practices. It was just constantly, constantly course correcting and staying focused and really following, you know, the daily rituals and practices of vision, having a clear vision in the morning of exactly what you want in your life today, for the week, for the month, for the year. And, you know, basically always staying focused, always putting myself in the surroundings that only help me attain, you know, these goals. And that's really, I mean, it's not really a secret to just, you know, when you want something, you stay focused and you get it. It's really, really that simple. And that's
simple in
really
theory,
what
yeah.
that's exactly. Awesome. But see, a lot of times, you know, people get sidetracked in, you know, whether it be self-doubt or procrastinating and also, you know, let down where if you're not on track right away, then, you know, you start to lose belief. But, you know, I realized that I wasn't going to get what I want today. You know, my goal was, you know, to retire and have freedom to do whatever I want, you know, but you have the, at the time I was a waiter at a restaurant, and you can't really trick the ego to be like, tomorrow I'm just going to be retired, you know, because you, it steps in and, you know, just hold on a second, you know, how are you going to do that? So you have to know, I knew that it wouldn't happen in a day. And that through constant course correcting and focus and then really, you know, following the daily practices of, you know, even exercising and creating a healthy body, to create the energy that I needed, you know, to make these things happen was a big thing too. So it came down to, you know, being healthy, emotionally, physically, spiritually, to really attain what I have.
Right.
And yeah, I mean, all little, you know, what people think might be simple, but it's, you know, writing with a dry erase pen on your mirror when you're getting ready of, you know, thoughts become reality.
Mm-hmm.
And constantly focusing, it could be some, you know, putting it something on the dashboard in your car. And it's these small things that just kind of ground you and bring you back to focus of your goals.
Right.
And it was really that just kind of like one day, you know, there was one day where I really remember where I had to create action. You know, you gather all this knowledge of what you want, and you know, you comes down to, you know, being at the right place at the right time. The universe always has these coincidences of, you know, whether you'd be sitting next to someone on a plane. There's always that magic moment where something happens, some bright light just goes off, and you have to act on it. And,
right.
You know, a lot of people, they don't see the signs, and because they're not staying focused on their goals.
Mm-hmm.
And once, you know, you're constantly thinking about what you want to do, who you want to be, then the doors really start to open up, and it takes the action to walk through them.
Right, right.
So.
I really like what you say about the course adjustments and actually not just having the big vision in mind. I mean, that's obviously something you want to keep at least at the back of your mind, if not central focus, but it's the sort of the next steps and the incremental improvements that you can make along the way, right? The vision, the goal itself becomes more refined and more refined as you are going through, as you're experiencing the actions that you take, and you're stepping towards this larger goal, but it may actually become so much different by the end, by the time you reach it, because you've refined along the way with the course adjustments and the little bit more clarity and incremental steps towards it. That's something that I find is actually really fascinating, is putting a label on something and putting it in a category, like I'm going to get this thing, or I'm going to be this type of a professional, a business owner, a coach, something, putting a label on it and having that as the big goal, or I'm going to have this beautiful house or whatever it is. And as you go through the action steps towards it, your success rituals, your bliss rituals, the physical nourishment rituals, all of this, as you get closer to it, the category box, sort of the edges sort of start to fade and get fuzzy, and your goal actually becomes so much more than what it could have been right at the very beginning, because you only had this one category in mind. And I find that so fascinating and magical, in fact, when your goal still is wrapped up in the bigger picture, but you end up getting something so much more and more beautiful and more satisfying and rewarding than you ever could have imagined from the point that you were standing when you originally had that vision. It's really quite fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and I've learned that you can always connect the dots backwards. So once you've attained a goal, it's hard to say, oh, okay, you know, here's a sign that I should follow, and that's going to lead me to here, and then this one's going to open up another door that leads me to this direction, and that one to that direction. And you can't really do it as you're going through the process, but it's so funny that once you get there, you're like, oh my gosh, like I had to do this, then that, and then connect the dots to it's so easy to say, oh yeah, I mean, I did this, and this, but I didn't know along the way that, you know, that I thought I was getting sidetracked in a way.
Right.
Where
yeah.
In reality, it was kind of like the universe spreading me out and taking these different courses to, you know, for the main course.
Yeah.
You know, these different subjects for the main one.
Yeah. It all makes sense looking back, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's all perfect sense, but you couldn't have planned it beforehand.
Like, it's funny how, like, my the story leading up to, I was a, you know, restaurant owner, and, you know, before that being a waiter and everything, and it's, you know, when I really let go and asked the universe just to guide me, my main thought was, okay, you know, one day I'll do something with restaurants, and, or, you know, it was a maybe thing. It was something I knew how to do best, and if I were to, you know, achieve something, I know restaurants best, so let me go for that. And so, you know, in the meantime, I was just being a waiter, a server, and I wanted some quick cash. And, you know, after doing like a real deep meditation of, okay, just universe, guide me to where I need to go. And next thing you know, I'm hanging out at a friend's house, and the friend says, hey, you should turn in a resume to this one place. And, you know, I could have said, oh, no, I've heard of that place, and, you know, I'll thanks for your help, but I'll turn in resumes everywhere. But no, I said, okay, hold on, I'm asking for guidance, and guidance comes through, you know, many modalities. And so, okay, I'll go and turn in a resume at this one place. I turned it in at the complete wrong time during the business rush to turn it in, but happened to catch the manager at the perfect time where, you know, they were just about to leave. And then so handed my resume to the manager. Next thing you know, I get a call back the next day saying, can you please come in? I'm like, oh, excellent. You know, that's, you know, turned in a resume, got a call for a job. I'm in the interview, and about 20 minutes through the interview, they said, so what made you want to apply for the kitchen management position? And here I am thinking, wait a second. I didn't apply for a kitchen management position. I applied to be a server. But again, you know, hold on, you know, the universe is guiding you, so play the yes game and then just see where it takes you. And then so, you know, in my mind, I was like, okay, I can do this. So I said, well, what made me want to come in and be the kitchen manager is this, this, and this. You know, I'm a leader and not a boss, and I can make people work through by being appreciated, and I can guide people, and so I can do this. So next thing you know, I'm a kitchen manager thinking, okay, how did I get here? Well, let's just go with it. And then a month later, the general manager quits, and I get promoted from kitchen manager to general manager, all by playing the yes game and following, you know, the signs and not having any doubt, thinking, okay, this is not the path I'm supposed to take. Just saying, okay, let's see where this goes. And then, lo and behold, you know, my wife was like, you know, we were paying really inexpensive rent at the time, like staying in one of my mother-in-law's units. And, you know, I was thinking, okay, we can, you know, pay rent for a while. She says, no, we should take all of our money that we've saved up, you know, through serving tables and everything, which is, I think, is like $7,000, mm-hmm. and let's put it down on a house, you know, and start, you know, owning a house and do that. And I'm like, okay, what, a house? Like, we were paying like $250 a month.
Oh,
like,
my goodness.
Now
I
got
a
huge mortgage. And, yeah, exactly. So how can you give up $250 a month? So, yeah. Okay, just if this is where the universe wants to take us, let's do it. Let's get a house. And then it happened to be the year that California and everything boomed. And we ended up, you know, having some equity against the house to do something with. And at that time, this is only, you know, I think like 2 years after getting the job in the first place, the restaurant owner said, okay, well, I'm really a land developer, and I just opened up this, you know, restaurant a decade ago to get some money and everything, and I want to sell it right now, and, you know, I'll be looking for a buyer. And I was like, oh, really? You know, I can be a buyer. And he's like, well, I'd really like you to own it. You've been here being the general manager, blah, blah, blah. But it's going to take some real money. And like I said, that was the year that, you know, the boom went off with houses and ended up getting the equity and taking that and putting a little bit down. And then what I did for him all throughout, you know, a little sidetrack story was part of his general manager, you know, being his general manager, he said, well, can you open up the second location for me? And I knew nothing about, you know, opening up restaurants, just kind of like running them. And then so during that time I also opened up a second restaurant. I'm doing all these things that really weren't in my original, you know, plan.
Right.
To, you know, to become successful. It was just, okay, I'll open up this side location, and I'll basically, I'm, you know, the universe is giving me all of these tools to own my own restaurant one day. And if, you know, if I would have written down, said, hey, you know, you're going to go from, you know, being a server and $250 a month rent to, you know, and pretty much living paycheck to paycheck, a little bit of savings, to being a full-blown restaurant owner and successful. And that was all just letting go and letting the universe guide me in ways that
at the time
I didn't know that that was the end goal, was going to be me buying this guy's restaurant from day when my friend was like, here, go to this one place and turn in a resume. Turned into that. And so and that was all, just letting go, having faith, and then just saying yes and doing it, and, you know, staying focused and learning the tools. And so that was my story.
That's the thing. No, that's awesome, Paul. Thank you. That's the thing about it too, those they're beautiful steps that all link together, and it makes total sense, like you say, when you look from now looking back, you can put those all together and see how they link. But again, you couldn't plan that, and that's just That's where again, being prepared in mind, body, soul, everything, being prepared lets you take advantage of those opportunities when they're presented. So thank you very much for sharing that. I'd like to open it up to anybody, if anyone wants to share their challenges or their successes in setting up their daily rituals, like how are you doing with that, and are you on track, do you feel like you need to upgrade, anything you feel like you'd like to share or ask questions on of Paul or I, please feel free. You can raise your hand, and I believe all of you know how to do that by pressing *2. And okay, we've got a San Francisco caller. I'm going to unmute you. Hello?
Hello. This is Michael Mike? in the Bay Area.
Hello, Michael. How are you doing?
Good. So I missed the first 10 minutes of the call, so I missed a little bit of the context.
Okay.
But then I just heard you were accepting questions about the daily routine, and I had a question on that.
Okay, absolutely. Sure.
Yeah, so I feel like my normal sort of work schedule is bumping up against sort of, you know, what we're trying to accomplish with the superhero training about waking up as early as possible and meditating and having like a really set schedule and routine. But I feel like my circadian rhythm basically is constantly being pulled off. So I'm not like, so I'm just not sure what to do, because it's just different. It changes so much throughout the week.
Right, you have a very sporadic work schedule, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and so what is it that you are so far able to accomplish for a daily routine? Like, what have you got set as of this point?
Well, I accomplish things, but it's devoid of, like, time. You know, like, I'll meditate, but it's not, like, on a regular time schedule. It just happens within, like, the 24-hour period.
Right. And is it successful for you?
I mean, yeah, I think it is. I would just like more, I think it is because in a way it is, because I'm basically using like a week, like I'm just kind of flowing with the whole week rather than a day.
Right.
You know, so as much as I'd like to have a really like tight 24-hour period, it's more like a tight 7-day period or something.
Yes. And under certain circumstances, that's what works best, right? It's not always, we can't all have the same routines, the same patterns, our lives set up exactly the same. We're all going to have to fit in our own individual circumstances what works best. So mostly, if you feel like your meditation routine, whether it's exactly routine or not, but if you feel like it is supporting you
helping you stay centered, creating a more like just a more spiritual connection than you had previously, then it obviously is an upgrade to what you had before. If you're feeling like it's just not good enough, like you're not feeling connected, you're not staying centered, you're not in control, like I don't know how you're feeling with it, but if it's not feeling great, then there's room for upgrades. And where there is room for upgrades, that's when you need to discern what's possible without overwhelming your current schedule, right?
Mm. Well, you know, I feel a bit of resonance in the sense that, like, or resistance, sorry, to, like, the fact that, like, I want to have a different schedule, or I see my schedule being different in the future, and I'm trying to, like, align with that future schedule, which is more the ideal than sort of the actual. You know what I mean? So it's like,
okay.
I guess that's what you're saying, is like surrender to your circumstances or something.
Well, yes. And be open to what's presenting to you, because like as Paul was sharing, the universe will present to you what you're ready for, but a lot of times we won't act on it. Paul, do you want to expand on that?
Yes, and so just a quick question. When do you feel most energized to do your meditation throughout the day? Like, when do you feel that you are the most, if it's not in the morning, when do you feel you're most present to focus on what you want?
In the morning and around 3 o'clock.
And around 3 o'clock.
Yeah, typically.
Then I would definitely use those moments instead of trying to confine to a schedule that doesn't meet with you. Then really go on your own rhythm, like you were talking about before, and use those times. And even if it's just, you know, whether it be that you are, you know, in your car driving home from work, there are different, you know, styles of meditation that you can do. And then so in the morning, you can do one, you know, close your eyes, go within meditation, and then pick another times when you say at 3 o'clock, it can be an energy boosting meditation. And just holding to those specific times before you can change your outside schedule. And then, like you said, refine your outside schedule to a time when you would like to do them. But take what you've, you know, what you have right now. And like you say, those times in the morning and at 3 p.m. when you are, you know, most present, use those times.
Mm. Yeah, what I notice is that, like, I'll block off certain times to do certain things, and I'll be really productive during those times. But then, like, when I'm outside of periods for those, for that, you know, work block, basically, you know, there's still some sort of, like, I still want to be working on it. Even though I know that at that point, like, I'm tired or whatever, I'll still try to work on things. So there's, like, I don't know if it's a lack of patience or excitement or what it is.
Well, if it's excitement, there's nothing wrong with that, I would say.
Yeah.
And I would suggest that is a sign you're on the right track, doing something that is suited to you.
Exactly, because excitement is like literally the autobahn, the fast lane to achieving your goals. Mm-hmm. You really attach excitement with your goals, and that is really the fuel that gets you there. Because the more excited you're about something, just the more energy you're putting towards it. You know, a lot of times people get an interpretation of different kinds of meditations to achieve different outcomes, but you know, there's relaxation meditations, there's, you know, refilling of energy and drive. And really, I mean, it's once you find that level of excitement, just attach that to your goal and just keep, you know, circulating and stirring it and refueling it. So,
you know, one more question. When you wake up in the morning, it takes me time to, like, sort of generate that excitement. Like, do you guys have any tips for that? To really sort of wake up connected already? as opposed to waking up like it's an accident. You know, waking up on purpose. Right?
Yeah. I like that, waking up by accident. Okay. For myself, my experience is that that's one of the signs that I'm on the right path, is that waking up with excitement. Now, I don't know if you're speaking specifically about waking up with excitement to do meditation or excitement for your day ahead, but it definitely is an indicator, a key indicator of whether, like, how close you are to your best day ever. So, for me,
the idea of waking up excited to meditate. Like, I've never thought about that before.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. That in and of itself is a really beautiful start to the day. I for many years would drag myself out of bed, like, oh, I can't face this day. But that, when I experience the contrast to that those moments in my life when I could really say, yes, I'm on track, I'm doing the right thing, and associating that, you know, I actually do jump out of bed, I actually am excited without hoping somebody's going to bring me a cup of coffee to get me up. You know, there's a huge difference. And the meditation in and of itself, having that to start your day, being excited about that and what magic that's going to allow in is really, for me, that's one of the best things ever in my life.
Mm. Wow.
I agree, Kathy. And you can't expect to, you know, everything is a wave and goes up and down and has its exact opposites. And so you can't, you know, expect to wake up with excitement every single morning, you know, because you need that something to judge it against, you know, the non-excitement to be excited. And so catch those moments when you are, or the mornings when you are excited, and use them. But it's okay to wake up not as excited about, you know, the passion, because the excitement can come at different times, like you said, throughout the day. And also, if you want to kind of, you know, enhance that excitement, or if you feel that, you know, it's groggy, you know, a little bit groggy in the morning or quite as excited as you'd like to be, I find myself, after just doing some simple stretches and, you know, a few big, deep breaths, that really just puts energy in my body. Or it's like, wow, where did this come from? Where I'm feeling kind of groggy, and then do a simple, you know, 3 minutes to 5 minutes of just simple stretches, and then I notice that adds a lot of excitement energy in my body.
Mm. Thank you.
Pleasure.
You're
very welcome. Was there anything else, Michael?
Yeah, I don't know. I think something I'm working on and hopefully getting better on is getting out of my head and really putting ideas down and trying to work with them in reality, you know, to get out of overwhelm, basically, and sort of to just understand that through work comes answers, and just becoming really okay with that. It feels somehow like, you know, jumping, you know, crossing a stream and jumping on rocks to cross the stream. Like, mm-hmm. I feel like I'm finding my balance with that.
That's a really,
you know, basically kind of not seeking approval, basically. Like, being okay with that I'm an infinite timeless being and not having to, like, get permission, you know?
Yeah. I really like that visual, though, that you just presented of jumping across the stream or stepping on the stones across the stream. Mm-hmm. So with your you mentioned overwhelm, and so I was wondering, do you have, and also getting things out of your head and down on paper or whatever, do you feel a sense of, like, there's just too much going on,
or what is it that brought those words to the surface?
Well, I love like the work that I'm creating, but I only have mm-hmm. a certain amount of time that I can spend on it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's almost like being with a lover and being pulled away. You know what I mean? Like you can mm-hmm. only spend so much time with a lover, or I can only spend so much time on what I'm creating, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it has mm-hmm. become like a labor of love, and I don't know, maybe I'm too attached. I don't know.
Well, actually, Michael, like it's really, really very effective to be able to get away from your creation, because when you take a moment to rest and just be without being focused on it or anything, then a lot of clarity comes, and with ease and grace, actually, and also some of your most inspired ideas of how to move forward with it come to you in those moments of rest. So it really, it's really a service to yourself to take some time away. Even when, like I know from personal experience as well, to be so passionate about something that you lose all track of time and well, then, you know, 7 o'clock at night and the kids are saying, do we get to eat dinner tonight, Mom? Well, I don't know. I'm in the middle of something that's so awesome, right? But there are other things in life that do require you to pay attention to them, like kids and stuff. But really, truly, you do get, even when you're on a roll and totally in the flow, you can produce even better results by taking a step back for a moment and letting it percolate and process within. So then you have something even better to bring forth after the rest. So maybe if you could consider that when it's time to take a break because of life dictating that, or because you're tired, or because you're losing focus, that's actually a blessing.
It's a blessing, like it's a sign that you've done enough, that I've done enough, or that we've done enough.
Always you are enough. Always. The pressure sometimes is that we're looking forward and seeing how far we have to go. And a lot of times we forget to look back at how far we've come. So congratulate yourself for everything you have accomplished.
That's so beautiful. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Michael, is there anything else that we can do for you tonight?
Anything else would just be like tactical business questions. So from a personal front, and I think the tactical business stuff sort of just comes as I move, you know, as I flow with it.
Okay. Anytime you can send email, you know that, if you have any questions, specific ones for any of us, send email and, we can speak specifically towards that. But if you feel set with your daily rituals, like you've got an understanding of where they're working for you and where they could upgrade, and you allow yourself to make incremental upgrades without adding more overwhelm, like without thinking, oh, I've got to make this massive leap right now, just allow yourself some gentle steps to upgrade. And if you feel good there, then yeah, please email us with any of the tactical business questions.
Okay.
Is that all good?
Definitely.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah, that's amazing. Thank you.
You're welcome. Have a beautiful evening, Michael.
Thank you.
Yes. Thank you, Michael.
You as well.
So we have another hand up right now, and I can't tell where you're calling from, but I am going to unmute you.
Hello.
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 Hello. Who's this?
Hey, it's Chris. Hi, Kathy.
Hi, Chris. How are you?
Doing well.
My number is
probably. Yeah, no, it's early in the morning, actually. So,
okay.
But it's tomorrow. I'm calling from the future, and I just want to let everybody know. The future is
it's
beautiful,
all
guys. All right? I'm calling from the future. It's a beautiful day. Don't worry, okay?
Thanks, Chris.
Sure, that's it. My job here is done.
Yeah, we're all just so relieved. This is wonderful.
Woo! Thank you, guys. Allison, thank you guys for taking the call today. It's great. You're doing a great job. And I just wanted to speak to Michael. He was asking about, any tips to start the day out great. And I find that if I finish my day right, I start my day right. You know what
mm-hmm.
I mean? I think it's cyclical.
Mm-hmm.
I can't. It's not a separation. There's days we can't. You know, our society wants us to separate everything into days and the schedules, but
mm-hmm.
really it's a flow. It's a flow.
Yeah.
So
for me,
if I finish my day right by feeding my mind, body, and spirit, just something simple, you know, the night before, you know, and allow myself to go to sleep peacefully, I find that I wake up so much more peacefully. It's, you know, it's common. It seems simple, but, you know, that really works for me, Michael. And I find that when I don't do that, I wake up and I'm like, coffee. You know, and trying to tell myself, yes, it's the best day ever. Yes, great. Just especially if I'm still in bed, but finishing it up the night before, in a peaceful manner just helps me to start in a peaceful manner or an excited way. I found that, you know, I think we're all in different places with our practice and our daily rituals and where we're at. So it's something that's, you know, some of us are maybe, you know, finding a, you know, I've experienced times when I've just completely fallen off my practice and through life crises and things like that. And I found that there's a guy named Elliot Hulse, and he gave me some good advice, and he said, just find one simple thing, one very simple thing that you can do every day for yourself and just do it every day. Simple, like something so simple as like, drink a glass of lemon water every morning. You know what I mean? Something you're going to be able to do sick, tired, busy, no matter what. So one thing for your mind, one thing for your body, one thing for your spirit. And let that be your bedrock for your foundation of building upon things. So even in those crazy times, which we are all going to face, there's going to be crisis. There's going to be, there's going to be challenges. There's going to be times when our schedules, our precious schedules get upsetted. And so by having those three things or even just one simple thing that I can do every day, I find that is my anchor, you know, that keeps me from really, really going off track, which I can definitely do. And, you know, I think we can all do, you know, of
mm-hmm.
course, but
mm-hmm.
so, you know, that's, I have a glass of lemon water every morning. You know, that's something
mm-hmm.
I do for my body. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I also go for a walk every morning, which like just a small, short walk. I'm not running. I'm not trying to get any sort of crazy fitness in. I'm just walking and
mm-hmm.
that relaxes that allows my mind to wander. And also if I'm doing it early in the morning, it feeds my spirit by seeing the sunrise and seeing that beauty.
Mm-hmm.
And I can offer a prayer there, you know, or an active meditation.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, a glass of lemon water and a walk every day, that's for the last year and a half has been the bedrock that's allowed me to build other greater daily routines on top of it. And
awesome.
That's
awesome, Chris. Thank you very much. I was going to ask you actually how long you've been doing this for. And so do you know can you see the difference between before you started doing this and after?
Certainly. It's revolutionary for me in that I've been such a sporadic person I've had that tendency in my life just for inconsistency and sporadicities, except for like maybe my addictions, like smoking cigarettes or, you know, or I could smoke cigarettes every day, you know, every day. No, that's no problem, man. I'm into that. You know what I mean? If you drink a glass of lemon water every day, holy dooly. How am I going to do that? But that was my past. But so since I latched onto the one simple thing, absolutely, huge difference. My life is transformed,
mm-hmm.
and I liken it to you know, exercising that spiritual muscle, that spiritual capacity. You know, you're stretching the boundaries just by starting small and doing it consistently. You're really exercising what you're capable of building upon with
mm-hmm.
that. So for me,
right,
yeah,
right.
it's been huge. It's
yeah.
been huge. You know,
yeah.
like I think I've said it before, but I mean, I started doing that daily walk, like
mm-hmm.
with a cup of coffee in one hand and
yeah.
a split in the other one, and you know, going, I'm going, you know, and like, here we go. Okay, I'm going for a walk,
yeah.
and then that transferred into a herbal tea and a spliff in my hand, and I'm walking. Okay, and then it turned into a glass of beautiful water, no spliff, and I quit smoking herb, and you know, and doing,
yeah.
and abusing herb, and doing that, and just really, then now I just go with a, you know, a beautiful deep breath and a smile on my face. So
yeah. see, these are so awesome. Those incremental changes, right? Rather than trying to quit it all and go for the you know, the walk that's pure with, but you did it in conjunction with everything else. Those incremental steps and changes that make it a monumental difference, right?
That's exactly right. I wanted to be able to go for that walk with that smile on my face and,
mm-hmm.
you know, that deep breath. But where I was at, I had to meet myself where I was at. I,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
I had to get out of my way and meet myself where I was at. Jesus
yeah.
says that a lot. He says, meet people,
yeah.
you know, let's meet people where they're at. You know, meet
yeah.
yourself where you're at. Extend yourself the same courtesy. Don't, you know, challenge yourself, of course.
Yeah.
Challenge yourself. That's beauty. But those will come to you, you know, and need plenty from without, you know what I mean? You'll bring those challenges. The universe will bring those challenges to you. Meet yourself where you're at and get real.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for giving yourself that consideration and for keeping on improving it.
Okay, thank you. Well, it's my pleasure. Yeah, thank
yeah.
you guys.
And also,
but,
Chris, do you
yes.
have any parts of your routine that you've felt like you haven't been able to set, like things that you'd like to include in your day and you just haven't been able to?
Well, I was about 4 months ago, I was, you know, I had been in the superhero training for about 4 months or so. And
mm-hmm.
I was really, my routine was great. I was doing my morning meditation, my evening meditation. I was, you know, doing exercise every day. I was also, you know, creating art, and it was beautiful. And my diet was getting to where I wanted it to be. You know, I was trying to become eat as much living, healthy food as I could. And then the universe brought me a crazy opportunity to move to the other side of the country and go live in the outback of Australia, where I'm at now,
yeah.
with Aboriginal communities. My whole routine, because I was in a living in a stable place, having my little environment that I was creating, my sacred place. And then I ended up in living in basically a tent in a Jeep for 7 weeks and
right.
having, you know, and then stress and all these things came in, and it totally threw a wrecking ball through my routine.
Mm-hmm.
So right now where I find myself at is I'm in the place where I had envisioned myself to be, where I was dreaming, I was visualizing my goal setting. I'm here now. But my routine is I'm just now piecing it back together. Like,
so that's good.
Yeah, it's fine. but it's like, okay, before I did it and everything was good and like it was kind of easy to do it. And so now it feels like the universe is giving me the opportunity to do that again, the same thing, what I know I can do, but with a bit more weight on my shoulders, with
mm-hmm.
a bit more challenge, right? Okay, you can do that. Now let's see if you can do it with this much weight or with this
mm-hmm.
much pressure or, you know, and you know, Mike often speaks of, and Nick often speak of mastery. And so this is doing the same thing, but just with a bit more, with a higher difficulty level. So,
right, yes.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Testing that. Yeah, good, because you should. We all have challenges,
I wish I was just breathing and, you know, a breatharian and, you know, like projecting light beams out of me and healing people, but, you
one
know,
step
one
at
step
time.
At a time. Exactly. Mastery first.
Yeah. But
pray
that's,
for patience
that's,
and
that's you'll it, right? Like you're leveling up, right? So you're being given the same opportunities to set some standards, to refine what you're standards are, your routine, what's going to bring you the best success, bliss, joy, physical health, and in a different environment, not just physically,
sure.
But yeah. And so that's giving you that opportunity to recommit to the same vision.
Exactly. And just, yeah, and really just strengthening that vision. You know what I mean? Really, really filling it out until it's truly solid. You know what I mean? Instead
mm-hmm.
of just
mm-hmm.
filled with big chunks of something, it's filled with a fine sand that is solid, that can be built on, you know, or not
yeah,
sand,
yeah.
but, you know, something
mm-hmm.
solid, you know, so
yeah.
instead of some crunched Lego pieces that are all going to slip over and make me trip
yeah.
and fall, you know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm filling it up. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. But I think in that first Spider-Man movie, I think it was said very well that with great power comes great responsibility.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've moved to a place now where I have an opportunity to be responsible for this. I live in an Aboriginal community,
mm-hmm.
and the work that I've been offered is to be the spiritual health promotion officer for these people.
Yeah, yeah. And you've been offered that job?
Yeah, I have. And
excellent.
Oh, so thanks very much. And but this is a lot more responsibility than just looking after myself.
Certainly.
So I can't help but see the synchronicity in making myself master what is simple and look at that so I can teach other people and show other people and really be ready to do that, you know. So
right.
Instead
precisely.
Of moving out to my
yeah.
barbarian sort of living in a cave sort of thing.
No, see, this is one of those beautiful opportunities that presents itself when you are prepared. You've got the right circumstances now to really cement your level of understanding and awareness and growth and expansion. You've got the opportunity to share that now, the successes you've had, and also, again, recommit to it, to... Yeah, to not just talk the talk, but walk the walk as well, right?
That's exactly, and it's scary. And I also have the doubt in myself, that self-fear, the self-limiting.
Mm-hmm.
That, oh, you know, this
mm-hmm.
is, no, you know,
mm-hmm.
I, you know, this wasn't part of my original plan. My original plan was to come out and write an album and to really get on point with my spiritual practice and my diet, right?
Yeah.
No. The universe is like, yeah, right. And so here we go. Okay, we have other plans for you. And so, yeah. Anyway, saying yes to that, just like, you know, saying yes.
Yeah.
That sounds right on track with how the universe works.
It's a bloody universe, thank
you. Exactly.
Well, I won't take any more of you guys' time. Bless you. No, go ahead. Sorry, Matt.
Well, thank you for your story. That's amazing. And, you know, with you in this teaching position, you do learn while you teach. And so, you know, the more that you'll be teaching this Aboriginal tribe what you know, the more that you will literally be learning from yourself and from them of what you're capable of and everything.
It's, yeah, I find that's the best way of teaching is of learning is through teaching. You have to. It's the thing.
Exactly. And it comes through challenges, really. If it was easy, then it wouldn't be, you know, as gratifying in the end.
No.
Well, not as gratifying. Not as gratifying, and it wouldn't stick either, right? Like, it would
right.
just pass through us. Like, it not make any impression at all, so.
Well, like a tattoo needle that doesn't go deep enough and hurt, you know, I mean, big things. It's not going to crack a lot. You know, it's got to go.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
Basically. Well, thank you so much, Chris, and congratulations with the opportunity that you have now.
Thank you so much. Bless you guys.
Yeah.
I love you all.
Yeah, bless you too. Love you.
Thank you. Bless you too.
Thank you.
So that's awesome. I was very happy to hear that. So is there anybody else that would like to speak? Anyone that would like to share on their successes with implementing their daily routines or any challenges, questions you may have? At this point, oh, yeah, we do have another one. Okay. I believe this is Ethan. Is this Ethan?
It is. Can you hear me?
Hello.
Okay?
Yes.
Hello,
I can
Ethan.
Hear you.
Aloha.
So is today a special day? I want to be clear.
Yeah, it is, actually.
Yeah, okay.
I replied that email. I got it this morning, and I responded, but...
No worries. Happy birthday, Ethan.
Thank you. Yeah.
Happy birthday.
Very much. Yeah, it's been a good day. I just took the day off of work, which felt really nice, because I never do that, really.
Good for you.
Spent some time with myself on the river, doing something I like to do, and... headed home now, but yeah, I got on the call here, and I guess I just, I raised a hand thinking that I would share with my personal experience right now, in the daily routines. For me, I really resonate with what is expressed in the training through, from Michael and Nick about waking up really early and doing meditation early in the morning. And the challenge and the struggle that I've been going through now for a good number of weeks is that I have a hard time getting myself out of bed at like 4:30 in the morning, sometimes even 5. It's kind of difficult for me, but I really would like to begin doing that consistently, waking up. Right now, I got my alarm set every morning for like 4:45, and usually I don't get up right then. I kind of, hit the snooze a couple times, and depending on how late I stayed up the night before, I might not even get up until nearly 6 o'clock, so kind of struggling with that, but I still make it a point, no matter what time I get up, do some form of my routine, and something that I've done with some of the other superheroes, we've kind of collaborated on some ideas and come to the decision that it's nice to make a list of the things that you're willing to do, that you would like to do as part of your daily ritual throughout the whole day, particularly in the morning, and just commit to doing some form of that. It might not be the full scope, full spectrum of what you write down, but if you've got it written down somewhere, on paper, computer, whichever, and you can look at that, you can kind of select what fits your ability in that moment. So I've been successful with doing something every morning, but like I said, the struggle is just getting up earlier. I really want to do that. So that's kind of where I'm at with the daily ritual thing for the morning.
Okay, awesome. Thank you very much, Ethan. I have a couple of questions for you. With the list of things that you've written down, is this, could you be more specific? Give me an example. Like, so say you have a list of everything that you want to accomplish, but you may only choose one of them to include in your day, or is it a variety of things you could do for, say, meditation or spiritual nourishment? What specifically do you mean by that?
It's a variety of different things that are optional, but ideally, I guess the way I've written it down is as something I would strive to do as much of as possible. And maybe I scale it down a little bit time-wise, and I fit in as much of these various aspects of it as I can. Like, for example, every morning I like to get up and kind of start with some movement before I do a meditation. Most of the time in the morning I'm sitting to do a meditation, or I'm doing a still meditation. And if I'm doing that kind of first thing, one of the first things I do, if I'm not fully awake, I might fall back to sleep, you know. So a good bit of movement, some breathing first is nice. And depending on how much time I have before I have to go to work or something, I may do the full list of what I have written down or intend to do, or I'll scale it down a little bit and kind of omit a couple things here and there. But yeah, so it's a variety of stuff that I strive to do in the morning.
Okay, yeah, that's really clear. And this is a really helpful tool, I think, for a lot of people, because I know for myself and for many people that I've spoken to, it's challenging to actually set a routine, to actually pick the things, because how many hours in a day do we have? Well, 24. And how many of those can we actually be doing things? So depending on how much sleep you need and how much rest you need will determine how many hours you actually have to take care of all these infinite number of things that you'd love to include in your life. So some people are super focused, and I admire that so much. They knew right from day one what they wanted to do and how to do it. And I've taken more of a meandering path and followed a lot of the interests that I have, and they are very varied. So it's very difficult for me, and I know for a lot of people, to just pick meditation as their tool to become centered and connected spiritually and whole and balanced, right? So not just meditation, but considering, like Paul was already talking about, there's various forms, and we all know this, that the moving meditation or a walking meditation with eyes open, or a sitting meditation, a guided meditation, all of these things. But maybe a walk in nature is that spiritual connection, or time spent playing with animals is a spiritual connection. So for some people, it's helpful to have general categories and then picking and choosing out of those categories according to what amount of time you have in that day, or where your interests are in that day to connect with. Same with physical movement, like where you get your most benefit. A lot of times that includes a lot of variety. So I like that you've got this list of things, and you add in as much of it as you can into your routine. So that's really cool. Thank you for sharing that. The other thing I wanted to ask about was the struggle in getting up early. What is your work day? What time do you have to leave again what time do you have to leave in the morning to get to work?
Well, fortunately, and maybe not so fortunately, I guess, depending on which angle you look at it from, I don't actually have to be at work at like a strict specific time. I kind of have flexibility, but generally I aim to be out of the house kind of between 7:20 and 7:40 a.m.
Okay. Yeah, so your challenge then is you don't have much of a challenge to get up at 6 o'clock, but it's more at the 4 o'clock range that it's a challenge for you, is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. And what do your evenings look like?
And that's probably where I'm being sabotaged, or I'm sabotaging myself, because I intend to go to sleep early enough to really allow, I find that lately I've been, because I'm not feeling fully inspired in general, I need more sleep, you know. I just need more sleep. I can't wake up that early on 4 or 5 hours of sleep unless the following day I'm intending to do something that I enjoy. If I'm, you know, having to go to work the next day, then I'm going to be looking at needing about 8 hours of sleep, you know. The evening for me, I get home, and, you know, first thing I'm really just interested in getting some food in me because I tend to not eat a whole lot for lunch. I eat really light for lunch. Just try to drink water for most of the day. So try to get some food in me first thing when I get home. Get that out of the way first so I'm not eating too late. But then sometimes it ends up that I do eat a little bit later than I probably should. And, you know, I just am taking care of the standard Western stuff, I guess, checking emails and doing that sort of thing in the evening. And a lot of times I don't get to sleep until about somewhere between 10 and 11 o'clock has been the norm lately. And I really would like to be much earlier than that.
Yeah, 11 o'clock is pretty late when you want to get up at 4. That's,
yeah.
It doesn't give yourself a lot of recovery and you know, that revitalization that you need. So, I mean, the obvious answer would be go to bed earlier. But what is it in the evening that you are – why do you think you are staying up later?
Just to try and get things done to be productive because I do have quite the list of the to-do list, I guess, that sort of thing. That's usually what gets me. I get into the meal first thing generally, and then I just go right into taking care of personal stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times, maybe I just set too high of ambitions when it comes to that sort of thing, and you know, I don't meet my goals with it, therefore I stay up late striving to get it all done.
Mm-hmm. Are these ongoing things that will never really be done, or are they things that do have sort of an expiry date, an end date, that you actually do finish up? Like a tangible finishing, like you've finished the product, or is it ongoing tasks that you'll always have?
I would say it's a mixture of things. Some of what I have set out to do is stuff that's kind of maybe a one-time deal. Some of it's routine things, really simple stuff, just like updating audio files on my iPod or something, or
mm-hmm.
downloading stuff from the training, getting it on the computer, that sort of thing. And so, yeah, it's a mixture of both, for sure.
Okay. And are they necessary to do each evening, or would they be able to be moved to a chunk of time on a day when you're not working, like just a couple hour period where you take care of all of those things so that you don't have to do them in the evening?
Right. And that's probably the approach that I should take to really successfully set myself up better later on in the week or something, you know, the weekend, set aside a chunk of time where I just sit, focus, boom, get some stuff done when I'm prepared to do it, and set myself up. I've been intending to do that, and I can't say that I've been successful in doing so to the degree that I would like to. Because a lot of times on the weekend, I just kind of get caught up in my own little recreational pursuits, I guess. I'll be
yeah,
honest.
Yeah, and that's good. We have to have time to play, right?
Yeah.
So that's important too. But there's a lot of success comes out of allocating certain chunks of time for certain activities. And like you say, the modern day things we need to take care of, a lot of times they can be so distracting and keeping us from our mission. There's something I recently read and it really hit home for me, was that with our warped sense of time that we've kind of become accustomed to in our society, it's just proven that you'll never have enough time to do the things that you aren't meant to do. And that just makes so much sense to me. Because when you are in a creative flow with something that is so in tune and in alignment with you, your soul, your passion, you have all the time in the world. And you can get it all done when you are in that flow. Time is just irrelevant. But when you have this long list of to-dos that you're not really that passionate about, you are in a race against time, right? So it might be worth considering what of those tasks you really need to do and what you could delegate and what you could just let go of. Do you really, really need to do them?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I should sit and give that a really good look and consideration. I feel like, without having the list in front of me right now, I feel like most of what I've set out to do is really important. Some of it to higher degrees than others, but most of it has, I would say, enough value to not cancel it off the list at this mm-hmm. point, anyway.
Yeah, okay, well, that's good to be aware of. That's important too.
Yeah, and in fact, now that I think about it, I've gone through, I just did this the other night, I went through, I've got multiple lists, and I think I've got one on my phone, and then I've got it on paper as well, and the two could be cross-referenced, you know, a lot of the same stuff is on both mediums, but I go through both lists routinely to, you know, if I'm checking stuff off, I'll sit down and actually kind of look at it that way and say, okay, what of this stuff is really the priority right now? And I'm constantly refining the list and figuring out, you know, switching around the priorities as I kind of feel fit to do so in accordance with whatever just feels right at that time. So, yeah, I do it really intend, and I'd say I am fairly good about being flexible with it, but like I said, I just set out to do too much or intend to do too much in a short amount of time. I'm not being realistic with it, and perhaps that's part of the issue.
Yeah, that could be probable. That could mm-hmm. be possible there. Paul, do you have anything to add to this?
Well, just what you were saying, you know, multitasking is kind of a way in drawing away your focus, you know, on one thing. And also, you know, with the procrastinating, that one list that I made that helped me out was, you know, a lot of reasons why I wasn't accomplishing all the goals I had written down is because there were those, you know, there's a fine line between play and procrastination. And it is nice to get out there and play and, you know, kind of let go and reflect. But then, you know, there were areas where I was definitely being drawn away, and it wasn't to play. It was just basically to, you know, look at Facebook or open up an app on my phone I didn't really need to open up at that time or something like that. And so I made a list on the ways that my ego tries to sabotage me. And and I procrastinate. And it's funny, there was actually a lot of items on that list that I didn't realize, because we just, you know, we just do it. We don't really focus on, hey, now I'm procrastinating. We're actually just caught in the moment of procrastination. And then so I would just suggest writing a list of the ways that you do procrastinate, you know, in all the ways, and notice that when that happens, say, throughout the day, then, or even in the morning, then treat it like a person saying, okay, well, you know, why are you doing this? You know, why are you here? Why are you, you know, making me push the Facebook app and see what's on there and say, okay, well, thank you. I don't need you. You're not helping me, reach my goals and cross things off my list. So, if you're like a person say, I'd like you to go away, please. And notice when you're procrastinating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's pretty important to be able to recognize those things, whatever they are. And,
mm-hmm. And they happen a lot more often throughout the day than a lot of people think. And it may be only for, a minute here and 3 minutes there, but it's still, those every minute adds up.
Yeah, absolutely. All that adds up pretty quick if it's happening a lot, especially throughout the day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really good advice. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Something that happens, too, is there's a whole lot more happiness when you're doing the things that really actually serve you. And there's an indicator there if you're feeling stressed or overwhelmed or you just can't keep up or you can't, that there's something that isn't serving you in that list of things that you're doing. So that's, for me, is a big key indicator of the level of happiness with my activities that I'm doing throughout the day. If there's any sort of knot in your stomach or feeling of, like, procrastination, anything that leads you to procrastinate doing the task, whether it's anxiety or doubt or fear or whatever, those mm-hmm. are really good markers as well to indicate whether this activity is something that serves you and your purpose, your mission, your higher self, or not.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
And a quick tip on when you were speaking about, your meals being more at nighttime than at lunchtime.
Mm-hmm.
I found that my sleep definitely reflects my evening meal. And I find that if I eat a lot at nighttime, my body is working harder to digest all that food throughout the night when I sleep, and I actually don't sleep as well with a fuller stomach. I sleep better with, a cleaner, emptier stomach. And so one suggestion might be, if you can, try to have your, lunchtime meal larger than your evening meal.
Mm-hmm.
And that would add some vitality to your morning, just because literally your body doesn't have to work so hard while you're sleeping to digest it all.
Yeah, definitely. I know Nick is really big on that, and I've been intending to find some kind of balance there. For a while, what I was doing was, I was kind of on that sort of program. I was having a little bit larger lunch and maybe about the same size meal for dinner, if not a little bit smaller. But those meals that I was having at that point for lunch, it was not working for me, because I noticed that after I'd eat, I would feel a bit tired, even though what I'm eating is, like, pretty legitimately healthy, I would say. Mostly raw salads is what I have for lunch, but maybe, I put a little bit of millet in there, and something about it was kind of weighing me down, maybe, or it was, my body's energy was going into digestion more so than it was productivity, and that was a problem for me at work, because after lunch most every day I've still got to be on point and ready to rally. So I've toned it down a lot, and basically now what I'm doing at lunchtime is I got some whatever kind of homemade sauce or dip. I'll bring a little container of that, and then I've got like a cucumber or zucchini or some kind of vegetable, heartier vegetable, and I'll just dip that in my dip and good. And that's been working for me midday. And, really, I think, to be honest with myself and everybody else, in the evening time, I just eat way more maybe than I really need to. I probably don't need to eat as much as I do, and I certainly need to be more disciplined with the time frame. I honestly know that I need to get that meal in probably before 6:30 at the latest. That way, and then nothing beyond that point. That way I've got time to digest a couple hours before I get into bed. And yeah, I know what you're saying. Huge problem for me. Eating too late and the body digesting during sleep is totally sabotaging my intentions of waking up early. For sure.
Yeah.
Right, right. So that's a little upgrade that you can implement right away is to be more conscious of that time that you eat. And
yeah.
And the amount. If you know that you're full, then stop, right?
Yeah,
I've had that problem.
Try
it in a small step.
Pretty much all my life, I've been one of those people that, I would probably say I've got a high metabolism. That's what I was told when I was younger, that I have a high metabolism and you need to eat a lot. I don't know, maybe that's part of it, but I also think that it's just the food addiction thing is kind of something I battle with, you know?
Okay. If you're bringing awareness to it, though, then you can, like we've talked about already, just make those small changes and ones that aren't going to rock you and make you feel stressed and that you can't do it. Little improvements and bringing in what's better and serving you better. And it just naturally pushes out the things that aren't working.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but,
exactly.
But awesome. Yeah. Thank you so much, Ethan, for sharing all this and getting real about it too, like really having a look at it and going, all right, where could I be more honest with myself about it? Thank you so much for that.
Yeah, absolutely. And thank you both for sharing everything that you have. I really appreciate it.
It's a pleasure.
Yes, definitely. Thank you.
Oh, well, much love and blessings to you guys.
Thank you. And you just have a wonderful happy birthday evening, okay?
I will.
Yeah, definitely. Happy birthday again.
Yeah, thank you. I'm pretty sure at this point I've got myself well set up for this evening as far as the food goes because I just kind of had my little snacks throughout the day and I had a nice little salad on the way home and I don't know what time it is now, but yeah, I really don't need to eat a dinner now. I've got that out of the way, so I get to bed a little bit early tonight and maybe start a new pattern for myself.
Woohoo!
Excellent.
Yeah, let us know how it goes.
Okay, I will.
Yeah, and if you are feeling a little bit hungry, you know, a little bit later after you've even eaten, then just have a big glass of lemon water.
Right.
Instead. A lot of times, just a simple glass, it can fill you up. Lemon's a little appetite suppressant as well as a body cleanser, and so that's the perfect, you know, little step.
Yes, thank you for mentioning that because it's pretty much inevitable that another food craving is going to hit at some point before I go to bed.
Exactly.
Thank you so much.
Yeah,
well, thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you, Ethan.
You're welcome.
Okay, so we have one other hand raised at this point. Texas number. I've unmuted you. Hi there.
Hi, Kathy. It's Essan.
Oh, hi, Essan. How are you?
Oh, thank you very much. How are you?
Very well. Very well. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much for this call. I think it's very interesting, and thanks to everybody who shared. But because I think we really need this, like, practical advice, getting things more I mean, less abstract than talking about the daily things we encounter.
Yeah.
So something that I wanted to share is, I think maybe the issues that I have at like more basic things, and that is, like, for example, when we talk about procrastination and things like that, we tend to really procrastinate it for anything that we really need to do. But I think it's pretty important to first have this project that is really, really important to you and really connects your spiritual life to your daily life. You know, so I think that is something that I haven't found yet. So what is that project that is really more important than me? And for that, I really need to wake up every day, do my practice, and then get to that thing. You know, it really gives you motivation when you know what that thing is. When you really know what life wants to do through you. I don't know how to put it, you know, that that meaning.
Yeah, life purpose.
Yes. So I think I don't know, maybe there are different reasons, but one of the reasons that I think my daily practices have not been as, frequent and orderly as I want them to be is that thing, you know, it's,
having a real clarity on your focus then. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. You know, the whole thing is very abstract right now in my mind, you know.
Okay, yeah. So it's hard to have the passion and the drive for something that you're not quite sure what it is you're trying to move towards. Is that correct?
Yes. I think
One of the things that helped me clarify purpose and goal and vision was just really paying attention to the things that I'd experienced in life before that really brought me joy, and going back all the way to childhood and to discover the things that I did all the time that made me happy, that I could do for hours and hours on end. And again, I'm going to bring back the categories thing. I've always had a problem with categories because I didn't really fit into one. I couldn't label where I was going, what I wanted to do. But those aspects of life where I was always completely engaged and present, and the ones that especially that were consistent throughout my life from childhood to adulthood, the more I brought those memories back up to the surface and linked them together, then like what skills was I using when I was engaged in that process? What feelings did I have? What physical environment was I in? All of these things. Who was I with? All of these things considered helped to bring more clarity to my purpose. Now I'm going to say I still don't have a label for my purpose, but I know that I am living on purpose right now. There is no category or box that I could put myself in. I just know that I'm engaged in activities that I thoroughly enjoy regularly every day. Does that make sense?
Yes, I think it does. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think trying to label yourself can be really the source of the problem, because, you know, how do you want to limit yourself to this one thing and this one activity that you can name it?
Yes, that was a huge limit for me. Huge. Mm-hmm. And when I released that, just everything opens up for you then.
But how do you define your, like, for example, your to-do list then?
Let's be very practical here. So we're taking
daily rituals that are in the bliss, the nourishment, the making sure that I'm feeling fulfilled and centered and whatnot, my spiritual connection. Those were far more easy to think about than the success rituals, say, because the how am I going to spend my time creating whatever it is, a business or something that brings me income if I don't know what it is that I'm moving towards, right? So first of all, the bliss rituals would be, and the spiritual connection, those would be what I would focus on. What are those things that really bring me joy, and how much more of that can I bring into my life? What are the specific activities that I could do on a daily basis to make sure that I'm happy, right? And that, is my baseline. Like Chris was talking about the foundational, the things that he does every day. They're small steps, but he does them every single day. Now mine was based on happiness because I couldn't label, well, what am I working on? What am I going towards? But the more you do that, the more happiness you bring into your life, the more clear you become on what's important to you and your values and your interests and the skills you love using, and you can refine and refine and refine. There is, look, I'm not sure if you have a general idea of where you'd like to head with your mission, or if you are just completely, you don't have any idea whatsoever.
I think I do have the general idea.
Yeah. Okay. So that's good. You have a general idea. Then the more you bring awareness to it of what you love about it, and you start bringing those qualities into your personal day, the more the opportunities open up for you that give you the chance to actually express those qualities that you love and experiment with the skills that you may be needing to use, and to give you the experience then of more clarity of what you like, what you don't like, what skills you want to use, what you value, what you definitely don't want to do. The more you bring awareness to it, the more you will get that definition. And it doesn't ever have to be a label of I'm going to be a this. This is who I am. Like just let the qualities be what you bring to the world and how you serve. Does that make sense?
Yes. That's interesting. So what you're saying is that what you do is you put yourself in the right state of energy, and then you will wait for life to actually to give you what it wants to give.
Absolutely. And my experience thus far is whenever I have done that, there's periods in my life where it is so in sync and so magically in flow, and the opportunities just come. And the times when I'm trying to figure it out and be a something, that's when all the energy stops for me, because that's the way it works for me. But Paul, you could probably add to that too, of the getting out of your way and letting the universe guide you by what's presented, right?
Exactly. And just focusing on the end result of, you know, when you achieve your purpose, your purpose can just be, feeling emotionally happy, right? Focus on the end result of the emotion you're going to feel once you achieve that purpose or goal. And then so, you know, whether it be trying to attain, love and happiness and riches and wealth and everything, truly in the very end, with that, say, money you earn or whatever your purpose is, in the very end, it's going to create an emotion within you. That's the final goal, how it makes you feel. And then so focus on that emotion as the end result, and then everything will just fill in the gaps for you.
Yeah. Well, that's beautiful.
That's awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, and then what you can do to upgrade your daily rituals then is every time you have an awareness of a, say if you're, you've got your general idea of your vision and you have an awareness of something that you think is completely tied together to it, that you could actually take an action step on, include that in your day. Take that action step every day and it will bring you closer to that vision.
Okay, so even though something is telling me that, well, you're doing this, what is the meaning of this thing, this step? I should look at the end result, right, and do the small thing.
Yes. And understand that what is being presented in front of you is really, really for a reason. And play the yes game. Play the I don't know why or if this is right, but just if it's being presented to me, at least try it out, you know? And if it ends in some, you know, what you think might be a failure, it's only failures, it's only an obstacle that's teaching you something along the way, not the end goal failure, but just something along the way that's saying, here, learned from this.
Yeah, absolutely. And not failure ever. It's really all experience. That's
no.
Just,
exactly.
Just clarifying what you love and what you don't, right? And without that experience, without the experience of the contrast to what you love, then how would you know, especially if you aren't clearly focused right from the beginning, right? You need those experiences to define it better for you.
Yes.
So, yeah, and that's where we talk about, too, like, experiment with it. Try it out. You think this is going to be an upgrade to your daily routine. Give it a try and see how it goes for a while. And if it proves to be successful for you, keep it. And if it doesn't, then tweak it, right? Like look at where you could make it better or enhance it or maybe let go of it because it wasn't working for you.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. So is there something that you can think of off the top of your head that you would include now in your day that you haven't before?
I think so, yes. so, yes, like, for example, the general idea is, I think, is music because, well, when I look at my life, and as you said, that's my childhood and different things, this is, you know, the signs are too big for me to ignore that music is something in my life.
Mm-hmm.
But what is that thing? Yeah, I think that the problem is that so far I've been thinking about the title of
mm-hmm.
the project going to run. It's going to be this, and here is the title of the album that I'm going to.
Mm-hmm.
But I think just doing things, I mean, just singing, writing songs, anything that comes, I think that is something that I can do daily.
Good.
Exactly.
Good.
Just like when creating a song, you really can't just, you know, write every single part at the same time. You know, to a song, you have to start with this certain track, then move on to the next one, then the next one, and eventually you'll have the whole song with all of its parts.
Exactly. Yes.
That's a beautiful picture, Paul. Thank you.
Yes. That's
oh, you're welcome. Being a musician myself, I can totally relate.
I might swipe
that
for you.
Okay, sure. Thank you very much. Very good
advice.
Yeah,
you're very welcome.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Yes. Yeah, thank you for sharing, Ethan.
Sure.
At this point, it doesn't look like there are any more hands raised. So, I really want to thank everybody for all the awesome contributions. It helps, I think, all of us, myself included, to hear the successes, and that just brings more motivation to create even a better daily ritual and to know that it's also possible. And if you haven't got it completely figured out yet, that's okay. It's always a recommitment
no matter what we're doing, just a recommitment to get back on the path, because life does just throw itself at us, right? And we can get distracted and have those detours, right? But there's always the opportunity to get back on. And if you feel like your daily rituals aren't serving you, or you haven't got them set really well, no matter where you are in the program, it doesn't matter. Go back to stage three and have a look. Really get that solid so that it works for you right now. If you've had a routine that was working for you, but it just feels like maybe it's not up to par, then again, go back to stage three and have a look. See where you can improve it, what might need those incremental steps and changes and tweaks to make it even better. Because from what I've experienced, life is good, but it can always get better. Like there's so much more magic out there than I know that I've ever experienced. So we can always continue to improve the steps we take, the actions we take, the goals we have, and just experience more and more beauty and magic. Like I said, yeah, if you need to upgrade or get more clear or get solid on your daily rituals, please go back to stage three. And also, at any time, please let us know. Just, we're an email away. Let us know how you're doing, and if you're having any challenges or you want any input, or just another perspective, perhaps. We're always here for you, so please email us. And also, for anyone who's listening to this, well, for everyone, even on the call, but those who are not here and you may be listening to this in the future, know that that is always true. You can always email us and ask your questions, and we will do our best to serve you. Paul, is there anything else that you would like to add?
No, that's pretty much it. I wanted to thank everyone for sharing their stories. If I were to add one thing, it would be just to know that you've already made it. Time doesn't exist. Speak to your future self. That really is the now. And your future self has already made it. And just, if you were to tell yourself right now, your future self were to tell you something, it would just say, don't worry. Everything is going to be okay. You've already made it. Stop worrying. So I'd like to end with that.
Thank you so much, Paul. That was awesome. Yeah, and well, much love and blessings to everybody. And here's to success for setting up your rituals and experiencing your best ever days every day. Thanks very much, Paul.
Thank you. Aloha.
Aloha.